Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Aleph. The Gemara opens up with a question concerning the need, or possibly no need, for evaluation when it comes to damage. What do we mean by evaluation? If an article or utensil is used to create damage, we evaluate, is the damage that in fact resulted something that could have been anticipated from that kind of item? Is that item that was used to create the damage really capable of doing the damage that resulted? On the side of the Gemara, you'll see triangles that are featured, and if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that these triangles appear in different directions. And on the side in our margin under our Mivneh structural note, we indicate that the triangle where you see the point facing up are Nisyonos Levarer HaSheila. The triangles in general represent an attempt to clarify or to resolve the issue. With the point facing up, Ein Oimed L'Nezikin, we will be trying to say that when it comes to damage, Omed is not necessary. It's not called for. The Becholdehu Nizok, whatever happens, whatever damage results, payment has to be made for the damage, regardless of whether the item in question could have in fact caused that damage or not. And if you say that there's Ein Oimed B'Nezikin, we say Becholdehu Nizok, even something of negligible capacity is nevertheless responsible for the damage, v'chayev, and you have to pay, you have to compensate. Oh, yesh oimed l'nezikin, or to the contrary, we say that we estimate, we evaluate the damage that resulted. Was the item used to cause the damage really capable of doing it? So, in a case like that, we would say Yesh Omed L'Nezikin, and the Koldehu that was used is not going to hold or be responsible for the person who caused the damage to have to pay. Now the Gemara, Ibayolaho, the question is raised, Yesh Omed L'Nezikin, Oy Ein Omed L'Nezikin. Mi amrino, do we say lekatlahu de amdinon, that when it comes to a matter of murder, a capital crime, there we have to evaluate. We'll say there's a murder victim, there's someone that's been killed. However, the item that was used to kill him really wasn't expected or wasn't capable of killing someone. And the omed would be as follows: b'hochi nafka neshama, b'hochi lo nafka neshama. With something of this kind of size, let's say a rock was used to kill someone. So a rock of this and this size is capable of killing someone. Something b'hochi lo nafka neshama would be with this, a person's life isn't going to be removed, going to be killed because it's too small. Now, the basis for a capital case like that is subject to evaluation, is based on the Pasuk, and Rashi cites this, and you'll see Rashi a couple lines up from here, Lekatlehu damdinon, techsiv be'evin yad, asher yomus bo hikohu, with a handheld rock that is capable of killing, the person was killed. So we see from the Pasuk a reference to this need for evaluation when it comes to a murder case. We continue in the Gemara, Avol, the Nezikin, Kol Dehu. However, when it comes to damage, we would say even something of a negligible size or dimension is still considered responsible, and the offender will have to compensate, will have to pay for that. Rashi, on this point, says, Avol in Ezekin, Ein oimdin. We don't go through an evaluation process. Da'afilu ein chefet ze roi lehezek ze, even if the item that caused the damage isn't really fit to cause such damage, chayav dezimnin deitzik bekoldehu. Sometimes damage results even with something of a negligible size. As an example, but it occurs to me, imagine taking a very fine pebble and hurling it at someone's thick glass window. The little pebble, you wouldn't expect to smash the glass. However, if it happened, the one who hurled the pebble has to pay. That's an example of with regard to Nezikin, we say, Becholdehu, even as something of a negligible size, they will cause culpability on the part of the offender. Oy Dilma, the Gemara continues, or possibly Lo Shna. No distinction is made between a capital case versus a damage case. As we indicated before, the triangle here is going to be in the direction of trying to show Ein Oymed L'Nezikin. No need for evaluation when it comes to damage. The offender has to pay no matter what. Toshma, so we have a Tanaic source. Ma bor sheyesh bo kedei lohomis asora tvachim, af kol sheyesh bo kedei lohomis asora tvachim. When it comes to a pit that causes damage, someone's animal falls into a pit, the pit has to have 10 tvachim of depth. Or any other drop, any other drop off that happens to be of 10 tvachim, if someone owned such an entity from which someone's animal fell and died, payment would have to be made. If the pit is less than 10 tvachim, or the drop was less than 10 tvachim, and there fell into it an ox or a donkey, well, umeis potter, if the animal died, so the owner of that pit would be exempt. We don't expect animals to die with a drop of less than 10 tvachim. Huzak bo chayav. However, if the animal experienced damage, the owner of the pit must compensate. My love, is it not so, mimato lemalo kochoshiv, that the calculation when it comes to the pit of damage is calculated from, mata means from below, from the smallest number upwards. V'hachi komar, and thusly, this source is telling us, mitefach vi'ad asora, from one hand breadth up till 10, misa leko nezikin iko. There's no death in such a pit, but damage, yes. Almo, we see from here, since we're expressing the calculation of the pit from practically zero up till 10, damage that results holds the owner of the pit responsible. This shows us Alma Lenezikin Koldu, that when it comes to damage that results, even a negligible dimension will hold the owner responsible. Shma mino, and from here we would conclude, Ein Oymed Lenezikin. The squiggle underline in the course of this Gemara is used to highlight the conclusion we're attempting to reach. So we're highlighting Shema Mino, and you'll see we use this along the way, this marking. So at this point, we say that since the source tells us that, according to this understanding at least, that even if it's a one hand breadth of depth and the animal experiences damage, the owner of the pit has to pay, even though the drop off was of such negligible size, that indicates that whatever causes Nezikin, even if you wouldn't have expected it to cause, the owner has to pay for the damages. That would be, as we said, Ein Oymdin L'Nezikin. Lo. The bow tie that you see here, and you'll see subsequent bow ties, are used to deflect, reject what the Gemara is trying to conclude. So here we reject this. Lo mimalo lamato kachoshiv. The calculation in this that's referred to in this source, or that's say subsumed in this source, is from the high number downwards. V'hachi komar, and thusly the source is saying, asora misa'ika, when it comes to 10 tvachim, that it can cause death. Pochos me'asora porta, just a little bit less than 10 tvachim of depth, nezikin isa misa leka. Damage could result, but certainly no death. Ula oilam emaloch, and still I will tell you that in general, yesh oimed l'nezikin, that we do estimate was it capable of doing the damage that resulted. V'chol midi umidi, and each case, ki hechi demitzika be boinon. The type of damage that resulted would have to correspond to the depth of the pit that in fact it fell from. So that if you have a pit of negligible depth and some serious injury resulted, the owner would not be held responsible because of our omed, our making an evaluation, which is to determine whether or not payment should be made. And if from such a negligible drop, such serious damage resulted, it could not be attributed to the fall that was of such minimal amount. Toshma. We continue in our attempt to settle the matter, whether or not there is Oymed Lezikin. The inverted triangle that you see indicates an attempt to show that there is the need for Oymed by Nezikin. And if the damage that happened was through something of negligible amount, there would be exemption. So what does it say? Toshma, hikohu, someone was hit, al eino vesimo, on his eye. And he was hit on his eye, and that caused blindness. Al ozno vichush, on his ear, and he was deafened. Eved yoytze bohen lecherus. If it happened to a slave, a heathen slave, that would be grounds for him to go free. Keneged eino v'eino raya. If the impact was not literally on his eye, but opposite the eye. Rashi's example is keneged b'kaisel keneged eino shelzeh. Someone banged on a wall where it was where this person, let us say, was leaning or looking through a hole in a wall, and someone came and banged on the wall near his eye, and that caused him blindness. Keneged ozno, or in a similar situation near his ear, and that caused v'eino shomea, he lost his sense of hearing. Ein eved yoytze bohen lecherus, the slave would not go free. My taima. Why is this distinction? Lav mishum de bo'inon umdana. Is it not because we require umdana? We require evaluation when it comes to damage, and here we evaluated and said that a banging opposite on a wall near one's eye or on a wall near one's ear wouldn't have caused the loss of that sense. And the fact that it did happen, it's some kind of, as Rashi says, his bad luck, his bad fortune is what was responsible. Ushma mino, and from here we would conclude, yesh umdana l'nezikin, that in order to determine payment for damage, we do evaluate the source of the damage. Lo, rejection. Mishum damrinon hu nihu de ivis nafshe. The exemption for, or say the banging near the wall or near the near on the wall near one's eye or one's ear, and the subsequent loss of sense is not a reflection of our making an evaluation, but rather we say that he caused his own deafening or his own blindness. The word ivis nafsha means he caused his own fright. So it's not a function of the need for evaluation. Kidisanya, hamavis es chavero, poter midine odom v'chayav bedine shamayim. This Tanaic source tells us that if you cause someone fright, so you're held responsible only bedine shamayim, only in a heavenly sense, but not in terms of earthly courts. Ketzad, how do we illustrate this? Toka bi'ozno v'chirsho, poter. If someone trumpeted in someone's ear, and the victim lost his hearing, so the offender is exempt. Achsoi v'toka ba'oznoi v'chirsho chayav. If, however, the person who trumpeted in someone's ear also held him while held the victim while he was trumpeting in his ear, that would be grounds for chiyuv, for chayav. Then you would be obligated to compensate the man for his loss because you did something physical. You were physically involved with the victim by holding him. Toshma. Again, the inverted triangle indicates an attempt to show that we do go through Omed when it comes to Nezikin. Chamisha dvarim oimdim oisoi v'noisin lo miad. The five payments that we've spoken about often in the past, those five payments are made as a result of evaluation, and the victim is paid immediately. Ripui v'sheves, when it comes to medical bills and unemployment, we make a calculation of ad shiyisrapeh, how much time will be needed until they get better. And that amount is to be paid immediately. Omdu v'hivri, if, let's say, the victim was evaluated to remain ailing for a long time, v'hivri, and he got better surprisingly in a short amount of time, noisno kol kamo shamduhu, he receives the entire original amount that for which he was evaluated. And the fact that he got better sooner, that's because from heaven they had mercy on him. Shema mino, from here we see yesh oimed l'nezikin, that an evaluation for damage is necessary. The Gemara responds, l'meimad gavro kama liktzar meho mako kama lo miktzar. As far as the issue of evaluating the victim, the person himself, bodily, how liktzar means to be ailing. How long would he be bedridden from this particular impact? That, of course, needs to be done. That kind of evaluation needs to be done. And hence, lo kol mibay alon, that was never the subject of our original question. Devadai amdinon, certainly an evaluation needs to be made. Ki kol mibay alon lemeimat chetza, when we raise the question of oimed l'nezikin, the question is in terms of evaluating the article, the chefza, the item that caused the damage. Yovid hai nizga oiloi, is this particular article that caused damage capable of wreaking this particular damage or not? And if not, and the damage happened anyway, we'd have to attribute it to something else. We used the example before of a pebble thrown into a thick glass window, and the window shattered. We'd have to say there was something faulty in the glass production, and hence the pebble itself wasn't capable of doing the damage. So that's our issue. Do we evaluate thusly? My, what is the din? Ta shma. So again, we have an inverted triangle, which will show us that yes, we do oimed. And this is a point that we had discussed in our previous year. Shimon HaTimni Oimer, Ma Egroif Miyuchad Shemosu Li'edo Uli'edim. Just like a fist is something that is capable of being evaluated by the court and by the witnesses, Af Kol Miyuchad Shemosu Li'edo Uli'edim. So too, whatever causes damage, it has to be something that can be evaluated by the court and by the witnesses. Shma mino, from here we see, yesh oimed l'nezikin, shma mino, that evaluation is a part of the judicial process. We saw a machlokes tanoim on whether the court has to be participant in the evaluation, but the tanoim certainly acknowledge that there is the need for an evaluation concerning the item that caused the damage. Omar Moore, Amduhu v'hivri noisnim lo yikol ma shamduhu. We saw before, you can see we have a little star to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this was cited above. An evaluation was made, and the person got better in a shorter amount of time than expected. He nevertheless receives the entire amount that was originally assessed. Mesayale l'Rava, this supports Rava, v'yama Rava, hi man de amdu l'kuli yema, a person that was evaluated, estimated to be sick for an entire day, v'ispach l'palga de yema, v'ka'o ovid aviditani, ispach means he got better at midday, half day, and he went ahead and went to work, yavina le de kula yema. We pay him, nevertheless, for an entire day of unemployment. Min shmayahu derach mi'olei, from heaven he had mercy, he received mercy from heaven, and that's a kindness from above, but that doesn't reduce the amount that the offender has to pay, which was based on the amount that the offender would have to pay, which was based on our original evaluation. Rokak v'higia boi haroik v'hevir v'chulei, Omar Rav Papa, here we're dealing with the offense of spitting on someone and causing them embarrassment. So Omar Rav Papa lo shonu, the teaching that you have to pay, elo bo, the spittle hit the person himself, avol bevigdo lo, but if the spittle landed on the victim's clothing, then no. Question, v'neve kibayish b'dvarim, why should it be no different than being embarrassed through words? Amri b'ma'arava mishmeid Rabbi Yosi bar-oven zo sameres, b'aisha b'dvarim potter miklum. From here you see, from this distinction, that if a person experiences embarrassment through mere words, the offender does not pay anything. So that we see from here that the payment for embarrassment that we hold responsible is a payment when there's some type of, say, physical absorption of the embarrassment and not just an emotional basis for the embarrassment. Of course, we're not condoning that. It's quite forbidden. But as far as payment is concerned, no payment is made in that case. Hakol lefi kvodo. The Mishnah mentioned that the payment is made in accordance with the individual's level of social status, how much honor he ordinarily receives, and in accordance, the embarrassment payment is evaluated. The Gemara here deals with the relative opinion of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. In our Mishnah on Adaf Tzadi, Omid Avtham, last line, there was the reference to the payment of 400 zuz in the case of causing embarrassment. Several examples appear there. And on the top of Tzadi Omid Beis, in our previous Omid, the rule was taught, akol lefi kvodo. Everything is in accordance with his kavod, with his honor status that he had. And to that, Omar Rabbi Akiva responded and said, Afidu anim sheb Yisrael, even when it comes to the poor of Israel, we view them, Royanoisan kilu heim b'nei chorin shiodun mechseim, we view them as free people that lost their property, etc. So our Gemara now asks, Ibaya leho, Tanakama, Lekula Komar, or Lechumra Komar. The first opinion in our Mishnah, is he coming to be lenient or strict? And here we present now the two sides of analysis. Lekula Komar, maybe he represents the side of leniency. Diika oni the low boy lemishkal kulihai, that there are poor that wouldn't receive 400 zuz. In other words, the 400 zuz figure that we saw in the Mishnah on the part of the Tanakhama will say an upper amount, and but there are those that would be paid less because their level of embarrassment is less. Oy dilma, or possibly the chumra komar, or maybe the Tanakhama is represents an opinion of stringency. Deika Ashir Deboy Lemesiv Leitfe, that there are people of wealth that you would have to pay more. So what is the position of the Tanakama when he spoke of receiving 400 zuz and telling us that the payment is in accordance with a person's kavod level? The kavod level stated by the Tanakama, is he giving us a top level idea and everyone in accordance with their level of honor level, which might result in being less, or to the contrary? So the Gemara says, Toshma midikoma Rabbi Kiva. Let us determine what the Tanakama's position is from Rabbi Kiva's response to the Tanakama. Rabbi Kiva's response will reflect upon what the Tanakama's, what the first opinion's opinion actually was. So what does it say? Afilu aniyim sheb Yisrael, royan oison kilu hein b'nei chayin sheyordu nechseihem. We read this before from the top of the Tzadi Omid Beis. Even the poor of Israel, we view them as free men, sheyordu nechseihem, that lost their property, shein b'nei Avram Yitzhak v'yankov, their descendants of our patriarchs. Shema mino, from this, from the way Rabbi Akiva views the poor, so we conclude from here, Tanakama lekula ka'omar, shema mino. The Tanakama represented an opinion of leniency. In other words, the Tanakama was saying, here is an amount that you pay for the embarrassment, the 400 zuz, but there are poor that you would pay even less. How do we see that that's his opinion? Because Rabbi Kiva's response was, huh, there are even the poor of Israel, you view them as free men that happen to lose their property. They are descendants of the great patriarchs. Rabbi Akiva imparting upon the poor more honor than the Tanakama had seemed to express. We continue in the Gemara. Umaisib Echad Shepora Roisho Isha. And in that particular story, where an offender had exposed a woman's hair, and Rabbi Kiva ruled that he is guilty, that he must pay, the offender said, "Listen, give me some time. I want to prove my innocence." And the offender attempted to prove his innocence. And in that story, we saw him say, "Omar lo, Rabbi tain li zman, v'nosan lo zman." The offender requested some time, and Rabbi Kiva granted him the time to attempt to prove his position. Umi avinon zman? Do we make such a provision? Do we give a person time? The Omar Rabbi Chanina ein noisnin zman lechavolas. When it comes to paying for injury sustained, we don't give the offender time before he makes the payment. So the Gemara says, "Ki lo yavinon leizman." When it comes to this ruling of we don't give time, that's lechavola, the chasre mamona. That's when the victim was a victim of actual impact, and there was depreciation that was imposed. Where chasre means loss of mamona, value, actual value loss in the victim that suffered his injury. Aval lebeishis de lo chasre mamona. When it comes to embarrassment, though there's an emotional damage, but the physical depreciation, as far as the individual is concerned, is absent. So, since there's no physical depreciation, we do allow to fulfill such a request where the offender says, "Give me time." Shomrei medes al pesach chatzera v'chulei. The story was featured in the Mishnah, which we already learned, that the woman was seen standing at the entrance of her courtyard, and she exposed her own hair. In the Mishnah, you'll notice we have a star to the side of the Gemara text indicating go back to Tzadi Omid Beis. So if you go back to the previous Omid, you'll find a corresponding star indicating Tzadi Aleph Omid Aleph. At that point in the Mishnah, it was said, Afal pi she'eino rashoi. When it comes to a person imposing damage to himself, a person is not allowed to be choyvel ba'atzmoi. And here we're going to be asking a question from a Tanaic source, which would seem to indicate to the contrary. So the Gemara asks, "V'hatanya Amar lo Rabbi Kiva." Here we have a brisa that parallels the Mishnah, and Rabbi Kiva responds to the offender, and he says, "Tzalalta b'mayim adrim, you dove into deep waters, ve'leisa cheres biyadcha, and you brought up a shard, meaning you were unsuccessful in what you were trying to prove. Adam rashoy l'chabel ba'atzmo, a person is allowed to impose damage upon himself. So from the fact that the woman exposed her own hair and caused her own embarrassment, that's irrelevant to the case at hand. A person, when it comes to himself, is allowed to impose on himself his own damage. Nevertheless, we have a seeming contradiction. Our Mishnah indicated that a person is not allowed, eino rashoy l'chabel ba'atzmo, and here we see Adam rashoy is allowed to. Omar rova lo kashya, there is no difficulty. Kan b'chavola, kan b'boishas. If it comes to a physical imposing of injury on oneself, that's prohibited. When it comes to a matter of embarrassment, a person is entitled to that. The Gemara asks, v'homas nisen b'boishasu, the Mishnah featured an issue of embarrassment. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, the katani hachevel ba'atzmo afa pisha eino rashoi potter. So here you see embarrassment not being allowed, even if it's self-imposed. Hachi ka'omar lei. So we re-explain what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Lo mibaya. I don't have to tell you that you have to pay for what you did to the woman. Lo mibaya boishes dodam rashoy levayishes atzmo. That, needless to say, something like that, where a person is allowed to do that to himself, you have no right to do it. Even when it comes to a matter of injury, where a person is not allowed to impose that upon himself, others who do it are responsible to pay. We take a look at the Rashi at the top line. Lo mibaya boishes tahil v'adam rashoi lach boil bi'atzmo. Since a person is allowed to embarrass himself, kibish ba'itzmo ubisha ba'achirim, imagine a person embarrassed himself, but others embarrassed him. Lo miftari bahachi. The others are not going to be exempt from paying by the fact that the person embarrassed himself as well. Elafinu hachoivil ba'atzmo, chavola mamish. Even something like physical injury, actual chavola, actual impact. The ein rashoi ba, a person is not allowed to do it. And yet, he did it. The ika lemeimar, and there's room to think, hayo umikukul hu, since this guy's a little bit crazy, of the ein makbid, that he's not concerned with his own physical well-being, lo nechaivo achrini uluye, maybe since he's mikukul, since he's odd, he doesn't fit into the standard mold of people, maybe others who would impose such a person should not be held responsible. After all, here's a person that imposes injury on himself. You often hear of people that are disturbed, and they scratch themselves, sometimes even cut their veins. So they're mikulko, there's something wrong with them. Maybe others who would do the same thing to them shouldn't be held responsible. We say no, nevertheless, even in a case like that, where there was an element of logic to suggest innocence, no, there is guilt if others do it. We now turn back to the Gemara. Before we continue with the Gemara text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, and a Mivneh, along with a structural note. The triangles that you see here will be appearing in alternating directions. This is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style. Birur, we're reading in the margin, Birur ha'im ein odom rashoi l'chabo ba'atzmo. Is it really so that a person is not allowed to impose upon himself injury? With the triangle facing up, Shela represents a question. The inverted triangle, Tshuva, a response. So now we open up with a question. You notice it takes a few lines to develop. V'ein odom rashoi l'chavel ba'atzmo. Is that really so? That a person is not allowed to self-impose injury? V'ha tanya. We have the following source. The background to the source is in the realm of oaths. A person takes an oath. He vows. Yochol nishba l'hora be'atzmo v'l'hora ye'poter. Could it be that a person who vows to wrong himself, to hurt himself, he makes a vow, lahora, for bad, to do something bad to himself, and he doesn't do it, would he be exempt from the violation of his vow? Talmud lomar, lahora ulahitiv. We learn from this pasuk, which deals with the topic of vows, maha tova rishus, just like benefiting yourself is something that you have an option to do, and if you don't do that in the context of a vow, you would be said to have violated the vow. Af hara rishus, so too the hara, the negation of good, doing bad, is something that is a matter of option. Avi nishma lahara b'atzmo v'lo hara, and with that, I then will include someone who swore to do something bad to himself and didn't do so. He would be guilty of having violated his vow. So what do we see from here? That this lahara, to cause bad, to cause self-imposed injury, rishus, is an option, is something one is allowed to do. Omar Shmuel says, no, from here you don't see that a person is allowed to impose injury upon himself. What does lahara mean, to do bad to oneself? Be'eshev betainus. His vow was to literally sit in fasting, meaning to experience a fast. Question: the kavasa. Well, then the parallel case, gabi haruas achirim. The Gemara here, I think, is assuming that we're familiar with the source from Maseches Shavuos, the tractate that deals with oaths. But in that context, there's a discussion concerning what about vows regarding others? Do we say the same equation applies of lahara ulahetiv? A person swears to do good to others and he doesn't do it, he'll be guilty of violating his vow. Haruas acherim, the same standard would apply. Now, what does hara mean in this context? So the last answer we heard from Shmuel was, Shmuel said, it has to do with someone experiencing a fast. So now, the kavasa, the parallel case, gabi haruas achirim, with regard to doing bad to others, lahashivam betainis, to make them fast, achirim yimoysiv lu betanisa, can an individual make others experience a fast? If you speak in terms of imposing injury, so you can speak about it in terms of self-imposed injury or hitting others. But if you're using, as an example, lahara, the example of fast, how can you make others experience a fast? The Gemara says, yes, it is possible. To mahadik lahu bin daruna. Imagine he locks a group of people in a room, so he's imposing upon them a fast. So at this point, then, we don't have any question on can a person impose injury on himself. At this point, we're saying no. But we ask, v'hatanya ezu haras achirim, what is an example of causing bad to others? Ake ploni v'eftes mocho. Here, you see, we dashed underline the key word, the example of imposing bad to others. Once again, in the context of someone vowing to do thusly, is a vow to hit someone or to smash his skull. So we see that the example of haras achirim, in fact, is hitting. And if that be the case, when it comes to laharas atzmo, imposing bad upon oneself, the example is injury. And in the Tanaic source we saw above, that was considered rishus, that one is allowed, one has the option of doing thusly. Ela tanoihi. So we must conclude that the issue of imposing injury upon oneself is a Tanaic controversy. De'iko lemandomar ein odom rashoi lechabel batzmo. There is a school of thought that says a person is not allowed to do thusly. De'iko lemandomar odom rashoi lechabel batzmo. Now, the source that says a person is not allowed to do that, that was how we understood, that's how we reread the Mishnah in accordance with that approach, that Ein Adam Rashay L'Chabo B'Atzmo. This Tanaic source that's from Masechet Shavuos indicates that a person is Rashay, is allowed to M'Chabo B'Atzmo. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei / Mivne heading. The triangle, the diamond that you see, Chipus L'Tana Shesofer, we're looking for a Tana that holds Ein Odom Rashoy L'Chabo Ba'atzmo. You might be asking, why do we need to find a Tana that says Ein Odom Rashoy L'Chabo Ba'atzmo, when in fact we said that that was the position that our Mishnah represented? So there's a very important Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page. I say important in terms of Gemara structure. So let's read the Tosfos together. Elo Tanoihi Klomar, Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin, Rabbi Akiva de Braisa Pligi. We saw Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, and it said very clearly there, Ein Odom Rashoy L'Chabo Be'atzmo. We saw at the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Omid Aleph, at the bottom of our previous Omid, a Tanaic source that said, Odom Rashoy L'Chabo Ba'atzmo. At this point, Tosfos is telling us that the two sources presenting Rabbi Akiva are in fact arguing over this very point. The Shinuyin Delea Lesnu and the attempted answers that we gave before are rejected. Lesnu means they no longer exist. Meaning we try to reread the Mishnah on the second line from the top with that Lo Mibaya regarding Boshis, where Odom Rashoy Levayish is Atzmo, but even Chavola that Ein Rashoy Le'atzmo. And we try to resolve the sources in that way. Here we're going back to the drawing board, so to speak. We're going back to the beginning and saying that we have two approaches within Rabbi Akiva regarding actual imposing of injury on oneself. The Mishnah taking the position that a person's not allowed to do thusly, and the Braisa indicating that a person is allowed to do thusly. And that's what the Gemara means here when it says Elo Tanoi Hi. There is a Machlokis Tanoim within Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, the continuation of the Gemara that we're now going to continue with, it asks, Man Tana Deshamisle Domer Ein Odom Rashoy L'Chab Vatsmo. We want to know which Tanaic opinion is the one who interpreted Rabbi Akiva as saying one is not allowed to impose injury to oneself. In Lemo Hai Tana Hu. If you'll say that the following is the Tana that represents the opinion within Rabbi Akiva of Ein Odom Rashoy L'Chabo Ba'atzmo Desanya, the pasuk says V'ach Es Dimchem L'Nafshei Seichem Edroish. Rabbi Lozer Omer Miad Nafsho Seichem Edroish Es Dimchem. The thrust of this pasuk is if someone takes his own life, so the Almighty will punish him for that. The Dilma, the Gemara says, Kat L'Shaini, maybe when it comes to the issue of killing, that's different, so that the pasuk is warning against what we call suicide, but you don't see from here that one is warned against imposing an injury upon oneself. Elo hai tanahu desanya. Rather, in the following, we will see even injury. It says, mikarin alames velo midake ha'amuri. If a person experiences someone's death, so and they tear their clothing over that, that is what we do, and it's not considered the act of the Amorites. The Amorites being representative of people that were idol worshippers. So it's not considered an idolatrous act. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Shamati, Shamakarea, Al Hames, Yoyser Midai, Loike mishum bal tashchis. V'kol shekein gufo. Rabbi Lozer says, I heard that someone who tears too much over the death of an individual is in violation of the prohibition of bal tashchis. Do not ruin things that are of use. And all the more so, gufo, the one who would tear into his own body. So you see from here the prohibition of imposing self-imposed bodily injury. The Gemara says, "V'dilma begadim shiny." It could be not like you concluded that it's all the more so one's goof, one's body, but in fact, the case of ruining clothing is worse. Why? The pseida de lohodarhu. That's a loss that cannot be retrieved. It's irretrievable when you ruin an article of clothing. That's it. There are many times it can't be mended. Kiha, and that's in contrast to bodily injury, which heals. So that maybe the prohibition that's reflected in this Tanaic source is actually on clothing alone. And to illustrate this point, Kiha de Rabbi Yochanan Kori Lemoni Mechabdusa. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to clothing, to his clothing, as his source of honor. Rav Chisda Karhava Maski Beini Hizmi Vehege. Rav Chisda, when he was Maski, means walking amongst Hizmi Vehege, are thorns and thistles. Madli Lehu Lemone. He would actually raise his clothing and exposing his own legs to being scratched by the thorns and thistles. Omar, and he reasoned, Ze Mala Ruka. My body, my flesh, heals. The mala ruka means heals. Vizeh, the clothing, if they're ripped and shredded by the thorns, eino mala aruka, the clothing don't heal. So we don't see yet a source that says there's a prohibition of imposing, self-imposing of injury. Elo, hai tanahu desanyo. Omer velozer akapor bribi. Ma Talmud Lomar. Here we have a posuk cited regarding a nozir, a Nazirite, one who vows not to drink wine. So, it's what does it say? V'chiper olav me'asher chotal anefesh. The source indicates that there is atonement for his having sinned. V'chibeze nefesh chotazeh. What sin did the nozir commit? Elo shitzir atzmo min hayayin. His sin was that he withheld himself, he restrained himself from wine. That's considered sinful. Follow Dvorim Kal V'chomer, and from this we can extend Kal V'chomer logic. Umazeh shelotzir atzmo elo min hayayin nikro chote. Here's someone that restrained himself only from one item, and he's called a sinner. Hametzayer atzmo mikol dovor al achas kamo v'kamo. One who exposes himself to fasting. Fasting means withholding himself from all foods. All the more so, that would be considered sinful. Of course, unless the Torah otherwise commands, as is the case in Yom Kippur, or the various rabbinic fasts. But for self-imposing of fasts, which is an expression here of self-imposing of injury, of a bodily deprivation, of bodily injury, all the more so. So you see from here that mechabel b'atzmo, self-imposed injury, is considered a sinful act, and hence forbidden to do. Hakaitzeitz neti'oisa v'chulei. The Mishnah made reference to payment made for cutting down one's netios, one saplings. Tani Rabo Barbarchano Kamei Derav. Rabo taught in the presence of Rav the following Tanaic source. Shori Horakta Netiosai Katsatsta. There is a Tovea, someone who's claiming to be the victim of someone else's having killed his ox. In other words, there's a Tovea, someone claiming payment, saying, you killed my ox, you cut down my trees that I planted. The nitba, the one who was being claimed from, says, ato amarto li lahargo, ato amarto li lukotzitzo. You told me to kill the ox, you told me to cut down your trees. Potter, there in a case like that, so there is exemption, there's no payment. That's a Tanaic source. much explanation is needed to appreciate this. Amarle Rav, upon hearing this, says, in Cain, if with that type of response, namely, well, you told me to do so, you gain exemption, you gain innocence. In Cain, lo shavakta chai lebrayasa. You're not leaving, literally, life for all creatures. People who suffer damage at the hands of others will never be able to receive compensation. Kol kamine, is it within the power of the nitba, the one from whom collection is being sought? Is it within his power to make such a to respond in such a fashion and be believed and gain as a result innocence? So Rav objects to the source as we just heard it. Amar Lei, so Rabo Bar Barchana, who taught the source, asks Rav, Isme, should I erase it? Amar Lei, lo, no, don't erase the source. Tetage Masnisoch, explain your source, the source that you taught, under the following circumstances. Beshor ha'oymed lahariga, or be'imon ha'oymed l'ksitza. It's a shor. The animal featured here was a shor that was supposed to be killed, and a tree that was supposed to be cut down. The animal had killed someone, and an animal like that is sentenced to death by the court. A tree might be a tree that was idolatrous, or a tree that's leaning over into public thoroughfare, causing people damage. Or there was fear that it might fall on person and kill them. So that's a tree that is to be cut down. Well, ihachi mai kotoin leg. If the description of the items here of the animal and the tree are thus, then what claim is being made in the first place? The Amarle, the Tovea, the one making the claim, is saying thusly, Ano bu'ino lemevet ha-mitzvah. I wanted to kill the animal, or I wanted to cut down the tree. The Sanyo, the Gemara cites a braisa that deals with the performance of a mitzvah, specifically the mitzvah of kisui hadam. The mitzvah of kisui hadam is when a bird or an undomesticated kosher variety animal are slaughtered. We call that a chayo. When they're slaughtered, the blood is to be covered. A layer of dirt is placed down. Upon the layer of dirt, the animal, the bird, is slaughtered. And above that, another layer of dirt is used to cover the blood. That's called kisui hadam. And in that context, the pasuk says v'shofach v'chisa. And we learn from that, Misha Shofach Yichaseh, he who spilt the blood, meaning the slaughterer, is the one who is expected to do the kisui, to do the covering of the blood. Umaisa be'echot sheshochat, an incident happened where someone slaughtered v'kidem chaver v'kisa, and someone standing by hastened, and he did the covering of the blood. V'chayvo Rav Gamliel itein lo yasor azum, and Rav Gamliel imposed a penalty upon the one who jumped ahead and did the covering, the penalty of paying 10 pieces of gold. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin deals with the issue, is it for stealing the mitzvah or for stealing the bracha, but for our purposes that's not relevant right now, but there is room for claiming that if someone was anticipating doing a mitzvah and someone else came along and actually did it, there's room for issuing a claim. Hey, you took away from me the opportunity to do that mitzvah. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav, Dikla detoin kava osur lemiktsitze. A dikla is a date palm that produces a kav. Kav is a measure, in this case a measure of dates. It's considered sufficiently productive to make it considered a fruit-bearing tree that is forbidden to cut down. And that's what he says, also, let me say. Meisvei, we challenge Rav's teaching from a Tanaic source where the quantity is different, actually quite less. Kamo yehe bezayas v'lo yiktzitzu. How much, what's the minimum amount for an olive tree to produce, which would then prohibit you from cutting it down? Rova is a quarter of a kav. So how can Rav himself teach a full kav, when even a quarter of that amount is enough for a tree to produce, to render it forbidden to be cut down. The Gemara answers, Shaini Zaysin the Chashivi, when it comes to olives, that's different. They are considered of importance, significance, and even a lesser amount than fruits in general would render the tree forbidden to cut down. Omar Rabbi Hanina, Lo Shochiv Shivchas Bri. Shivchas is a name. So Rabbi Hanina's son was named Shivchas. So Rabbi Hanina tells us that his son died, and with the cuts Teinasa below Zmana, he cut down a fig tree prematurely. It appeared to be probably a fig tree who was maybe quite old. Its fig production was diminishing over the years, but it was still producing enough to make it forbidden to be cut down. So this individual, Shivchas, cut it down before its time. And let's say, measure for measure, you cut down the life of a tree before its time, so his son died before his time. Omar Ravina, V'im hoya me'ula b'domim mutar, if the wood value of that fruit-bearing tree is greater than the value of the fruit it produces, then the prohibition of cutting down a fruit tree doesn't apply. We look at Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, V'im hoya me'ula b'domim, dom of yikorim l'binyan yosem yishevach b'rosav, the building value in the wood of a particular fruit tree is more than the value of its fruits, so then it would be allowed to be cut down. And I would assume, from the context of the Gemara, we're talking about a situation where the fruit, the quantity of the fruit was such that it otherwise would have been forbidden. Namely, it was more than a kav of dates. Nevertheless, if the wood value was greater, that would be reason for allowing. Tanyo Nami Hochi, and a Tanaic source that supports this, is now featured. Before we go on in the Gemara, we want to note the Pasuk that will be darshaned here from Dvarim Perek Chof, Pasuk Chof. The Pasuk says, and we're reading it together on the side of the Gemara, Rak eitz asher teida ki lo eitz ma'achol hu, oisoy tashchis, only a tree that you know is not a fruit-bearing tree, that you can cut down, v'choros uvonisa motzor al-ho'ir asher hi oisoy imcha milchama ad ridita, and use that wood for building your siege upon the city with whom you are warring. So the pasuk comes from the context of a battle and the need for building material for engaging in that battle. And now we go back to the Gemara itself. The source says, Rak eitz asher teida. Ze ilon maichol. That's a reference to a fruit-bearing tree. Ki lo eitz maichol hu ze ilon srak. That phrase is referring to a barren, non-fruit-bearing tree. A non-fruit-bearing tree, that's Elon Srak. I use the word barren, meaning in the context of a word to represent the realm of non-fruit-bearing trees. The chi me'achar she'seifenu l'rabo is called over in the pasuk that we read, we're including then all kinds of trees that you're allowed to cut down. Ma tama lomar ki lo eitz ma'achol. Why feature the barren-type tree when even a fruit-bearing tree you'd be allowed to cut down? So the Gemara answers, the Braisa answers, lahaktim srak lemaichol. That the first tree to cut down first the non-fruit-bearing trees. In the event that doesn't provide enough for you, so then you can continue cutting down even the fruit-bearing trees. We continue at the top. Yochol afilu mula bedomim. Is this the case even if the value of the wood of the fruit-bearing tree is greater than the value of the fruits? Would you still say that the non-fruit-bearing tree has precedence? Talmud Lomar Rak. So the word rak is a limitation expression. And we look at the Rashi at the top, yachal afilu mulu bedamim lekura. Kura means for beams, for building purposes. It's more valuable, yosir miperos, more than the fruit it produces, yehi srak kodem lo, in that case, two, would you say, the non-fruit-bearing tree takes precedence? Tamaloma rak, and Rashi says, mi eit hakdoma. No, the idea of hakdoma, of giving precedence to the non-fruit-bearing tree, is limited to cases where the wood value of the fruit bearing tree does not exceed the value of the fruits. But where the value of the wood of the fruit bearing tree exceeds the value of the fruits, then this requirement of cutting down first the Elon Srat doesn't apply. Shmuel, Isi Le Arise Tamri. Shmuel had his sharecropper, Arise means his sharecropper, brought to Shmuel some dates. Ochil, Shmuel ate the dates. Toimbu taimu de chamra. The dates had a winey taste to them. Winey, something from a grape origin taste was in the dates. Omale maihai. So Shmuel asks, what's going on over here? Why do these dates have a wine taste to them? Omale, beini gufni kaimi. So the sharecropper informed him that the date palms are growing amongst grapevines. Omar, so Shmuel says, Mikhashi Bechamra Kuli Hai. The date palms are weakening the vines so much. Lamochar Aisili Mikurayu. From tomorrow, bring me Kurayu. Now, the word Kurayu are different interpretations. One is the bark, it's a part of the tree, of the date palm, that grows around, it's a soft material that grows around its roots. Another explanation of the word is not the way we read it, but mokor, raihu, mokor means the bring me from its roots, meaning destroy the date palms that are ruining the vines. Apparently, from the because of the close proximity of these two kinds of trees, as we saw before, there was a wine taste in the date palms, in the dates. And as far as Shmuel is concerned, that indicated that the dates were ruining the vines. And based on that, he ordered them to be the date palms to be cut down. Rav Chisda Choza Toli Be Gufni. Rav Chisda noticed that there were palms, date palms, growing amongst the vines. Omar Leila Rise, so he told his sharecropper, Akrinu, uproot them. Gufni Koni Dikli, Dikli Lo Koni Gufni. With the value of grapevines, I can buy date palms. Date palms are worth less, so gufni are worth more. So with gufni, I could buy date palms. However, dikli, date palms, lo koni gufni. They're cheaper, and with them, I couldn't possibly buy vines. I'm translating literally, but Rashi points out that when we speak about gufni, it's really a reference to the wine that would be produced from the vines. If you look in Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, Gufni Koni Dikli, Midmei Hayayin, from the value of the wine produced from the vines, Yechilin Onu Liknois Karkois, we could buy land and upon that plant date palms, if we should so desire. Vilu Dikli Lo Koni Gufni Ein Shvachan Eile Elo Dover Muat. The produce of the date palms or the value of the date palms is not such that we would be able to do the same thing. Their value is much less. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.